What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. My name is Chris Williams, joined on a Tuesday by Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register. This is an Iowa Clinic Men's Center-sponsored podcast, IAMen'sCenter.com. It's flu season. Head on over and get your flu shots. I actually have been really bad about that. My wife is pregnant, and she's been really hammering me about getting the flu shot, Tommy.
You should do that.
Because, you know, for the baby.
Yes.
It's for the baby. And I haven't done that, so I need to head on over. I go to the Iowa Clinic in Ankeny. 8 metro locations in Altoona, Ankeny, Des Moines, Indianola, Johnston, Urbandale, Waukee, and West Des Moines. Tommy Birch, how are you today?
I'm just peachy. How about you?
I'm all right. You made the trek to Lawrence over the weekend. I want to pick your brain about that.
Sure. Yeah.
I want to talk about this Tristan Nicholson. I know you talked to him, a former Iowa State commitment now. I want to hash that out. But let's start with the football game on Saturday in Lawrence.
Do we have to?
We have to.
Okay.
We have to.
I probably came to the wrong place if
we have to live
I didn't
up
want
to
talk
our,
about that.
To our journalistic responsibilities.
Yes. Our ethics.
Yes. Paul Rhodes said multiple times,
yeah,
when talking about the first half specifically, embarrassing, ashamed. He threw out it was the worst half in the history of his tenure,
yeah,
at Iowa State. What I don't get, though, about not only Saturday, but you've seen it time and time again this year, the slow starts. It's like these guys are showing up, and they're not ready to play football.
Yeah.
You sense the same thing.
Absolutely. Let me get that. Little grogginess
little
in my
tickle,
throat.
Tickle in your throat?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
We're good, though.
Probably get that checked out.
Yeah, the Iowa Health Men's Clinic.
Iowa Clinic Men's Center.
Yeah,
get it
too.
Right. Get the sponsor name right.
Sure. you know, it's a common occurrence. You know, we saw it against Oklahoma, too. And I remember I specifically went up to Alan Lazard, and I said, did you feel like you guys were ready to play? And he kind of hesitated. But they said yes. And maybe it was just they was thinking about the best way to word that answer, or maybe he really didn't believe.
He thought you were trying to trap him.
Who knows? Possibly. Yeah. I do trap.
You do. You're a very skilled question asker.
Yeah. But they do not look ready to play. I don't know what's going on there. Because if you can't get ready, I mean, you've had both ends of the spectrum. One, you've got Oklahoma. A ranked team yeah, in the top 25.
Who you haven't beaten in decades.
You've got plenty on the line there. You, mm-hmm. At that point, you're still eligible for a bowl game, no matter how unrealistic those chances may be. That's still a possibility. You win that game, bam, you're on SportsCenter. You've got the national stage, everything. Then you've got Kansas, a team that you should absolutely beat. Now, Iowa State didn't just have to go in there and beat them. They had to beat them convincingly.
Yeah, yeah.
So to feel like they didn't come out in both those situations, it kind of makes you wonder, when would they? What kind of situation do they need to be put in where there is that fire or maybe that intensity or that sense of urgency? Because to start the second half against Kansas, they look like an entirely different team, at least offensively, in that first series. They were playing with fire, with energy, with excitement, passion. All of that was missing in the first half of both those games.
Kansas played like a team with absolutely nothing to lose.
Like Iowa State did last year against Kansas.
Yeah, and I think you've seen Iowa State play like that in times before. Even this season, I think.
Sure.
You know, like there were
Kansas State's
the game that comes to mind. Because we heard so much about urgency after the North Dakota State loss this year. And they didn't win against Kansas State, but they responded.
Yeah.
At least.
They were a good team. They played hard. They were in the game. They did a lot of right things. They came ready to play.
And that I guess that's my disappointment with the way this is all going down right now is because I know there are injuries, and I am sympathetic of that. In fact, early on, before the season started, like my whole key to the season was to not be depleted for the last four games. And at that point, we didn't know that West Virginia and TCU would be as good as they are.
Sure.
But my point, to have your starters intact for the most part, because Iowa State is never deep enough to really be able to sustain that. So again, I have sympathy for the injuries, but what I don't have sympathy for are guys being out of position, the missed tackles.
And just not being prepared.
They don't look like they want to be out there.
Yeah, they kind of look like they're going through the motions.
Yes.
To a certain degree, I could probably count on maybe one hand how many guys were playing with that sense of urgency I was kind of talking about, too.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Lazard, Grant Rohatch seemed to understand this situation. I think he definitely had a lot to play for. But, you know, this was his chance.
I actually felt bad for Grant Rohatch, because he looked very uncomfortable out there, I thought.
He looked very rusty.
And I for one part, I understand why Rhodes and Mangino have been so protective of Sam Richardson, and I don't mean that the way it sounded, but in the sense that they didn't want another quarterback controversy swarming them in Ames. But there have been a lot of opportunities to just throw Rohatch out there for a series or two, you know, in times where the game's over.
Yep.
And they hadn't done that. I thought they should have started them in the second half against Oklahoma.
Sure.
Not to all you got to do is say after the game, there's no controversy, or Sam's taking a break. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's all you got to say. They didn't do that. He looked like a guy, or I thought the offensive line actually did a nice job of pass protection on Saturday. If they give him 10 seconds, though, he'd need 12. If they give him 4 seconds, he'd need 6. He looked rusty. That's a good way to put it. My thing is, I almost put that more on coaching than I do Rohatch throwing for 50%.
Sure.
Against the Kansas Jayhawks.
I think that's totally fair, too, because that's a really tough situation to ask a kid to come in with virtually no game experience this season. He had that mop-up time late against Oklahoma where it was mostly just run situations. I think he only threw maybe 4 passes.
Yeah.
And you're asking him to go out and win. This was a must-win football game.
And it was – that was,
and it was on the road. It's Kansas, but it's on the road.
Yeah. And it was tough, too, because they really needed a quarterback that could run on Saturday.
Exactly. I do think that would have been a difference maker, having Sam there.
Which brings me – I don't understand the Joel Anning thing. I had heard all week that there was a chance he would potentially play. Not start. I mean, Rohatch is clearly the number 2 guy.
Yep.
I don't want to get confused with that. But
where is Starcevich in this?
Your boy. He'd be holding the clipboard.
Yes.
Anywho, Joel Anning. Apparently, and you were there.
Yeah.
He was warming up on the sideline multiple times.
He was warming up at least one time. It was tough for us to see, and I even asked Rhodes about that.
I heard that on the telecast.
It was tough to see, but Rhodes made it sound like, it never got to a point where it was going to be, if we get to this quarter, we get to this series, Joel Anning's going to play. Which I don't understand, because late in that game, even Grant Rohatch had no business being out there. You might as well put Joel Anning in there. Throw him a bone. They speak so highly of him. Every time Rhodes has had a chance, he's gone out of his way to say something positive about Joel Anning. If you think that highly of him, why not give him a series?
Only thing I can think of is the Mangino Lanning playbook connection is not there. The only thing I can think of.
There's got to be enough plays that kid knows.
Well,
a game like that where he can get one series.
If you looked at him, he's huge.
He is a big kid.
Like, use him like a belldozer. Use him like a Tebow early in his career. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Those type of situations. I don't know.
And this is a kid that generated a lot of interest out of high school, and most of it was not at the quarterback position.
And Nebraska wanted him on defense.
So you have
Iowa.
I don't know what's going through his mind, but obviously it's in the back of my mind where you're kind of wondering, hey, if you don't – you got to give this kid something.
Yeah, well, and the reason I'm so pro put Lanning in the game at some – because he's different.
Yeah.
He brings something to the table that the other guys don't. And you are 2-6.
Yep.
Are they 2-6? Why not?
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm
you
and I are, I think, both clearly it's hard to analytically break down what we saw, because It was so bad.
I think it's like you said, you look at Grant and you look at Sam. Those are guys who aren't that much different. The biggest difference in Sam is he is obviously 100 times better of a runner than Grant.
Yeah.
Who knows what you're going to get with Lanning? It sounds like the kid's just got a cannon of an arm. He's a huge dude, like you said. You know, he's almost built like a fullback.
I feel like Rohatch throws a better deep ball.
Sure.
Than Richardson does.
Yeah. But they are not extremely different quarterbacks.
No,
they do
yeah.
different things.
Yeah, I agree. It's Lanning, I don't know. I would have liked to have seen him get a shot.
Sure.
I'm not even saying bench Grant Rohatch. I'm not saying that
yeah.
at all. I'm saying when it's third and goal, and their credit, Iowa State scored a touchdown. It was third and goal. I think it was in the second quarter.
Sure.
Yep. But they needed a quarterback who could run at that. When yep. your running backs are running for nothing. I mean, they're in that first half. Some running lanes opened up in half number two. I mean, to me, it's a perfect time to put Joel Lanning in a football game.
Yeah, but I think that once again goes back to that whole paranoia
yeah,
wanting to start a quarterback controversy or
I get it. And
competition, because then you get in that situation with Sam, and granted, Sam is a fantastic runner and is more than capable of being able to run that ball in that situation, but you start giving Lanning a little success, and the second
yeah, I know.
That Sam gets stopped or even hurt, then you've given people ammunition to start second guessing you.
Sam Richardson's clearly the number one quarterback at Iowa State, I believe.
Sure.
You know what? We're probably focusing too much on quarterbacks because that Grant Rohatch wasn't the reason they lost the football
no.
game. I mean, he didn't play great, but I mean, we got to talk about the defense.
Yeah,
it's a situation. It's pretty dire. I mean, I don't – here's this is your problem. You look on paper, Texas Tech should be a winnable football game at home. I don't think they're going to beat Texas Tech. I mean, that offense – like, Texas Tech's not very good. You know, but that offense, Tommy, is still capable of putting 50 points up on anybody if it's clicking.
If they have their
quarterback.
Now, Pat Mahomes is the quarterback. I think Iowa State's in a very good situation
yeah.
because – maybe you and I would be higher on that depth chart.
This is true.
Otherwise, yeah, that's a very scary situation for this Iowa State defense and the offense, which, you know, I hate to go back to it once again, the quarterback situation, but we spent all last week being told Sam Richardson was fine.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be out there. There was... Rhodes never had a doubt in his mind the way he talked to us about
mm-hmm.
it. I think Sam Richardson will be back with the bye week. I think he'll be back to play against Texas Tech. But at this point, I really have no reason to fully have faith in what Paul Rhodes is telling me when it comes to injuries.
You can't.
So
this has become a constant, too. This is
yeah.
not... This is not a one-time deal.
So, this has the makings to be another Kansas game, too, because you don't know what kind of offense is going to be out on that field, too. There's no way that I kind of wonder if we see the same type of performance that we did against Kansas, there's no way that offense is going to be able to keep up with Texas Tech.
No.
But it could be ugly.
But it is frustrating, too, though. Like, the offense started playing pretty well.
Sure.
In the second half on Saturday. Very efficient. The defense
that
got a
stop. Drive was phenomenal.
It was probably the best drive of the year.
And you know what? I like a lot of things that they were doing with Grant, where they got a ton of man coverage with Lazard and just kept throwing it up to him. And Kansas just made great plays in
yeah.
a lot of those situations. But I think most of the time, especially as Allen kind of gets older and learns how to work those corners and stuff like that, you know, use his body, I think that's a play that's going to work 9 times out of 10.
Well, I thought that the missed field goal was critical
sure.
in the football game. I think they might have actually won that game. And I'm not throwing it on Colnett, and he's been great all year. But that was just such a, from a momentum standpoint, that was such a dagger.
Yeah, I think the bigger dagger was that they needed to go in there and get a touchdown.
Yeah, they score a touchdown.
I think the field goal kind of keeps the momentum going, but I think it realistically died once they didn't get
it all
a touchdown.
If you do the field goal, it all depends on what your defense does.
Yeah.
Next.
And, man, I mean, that defense is just totally depleted. There were so many big holes. Guys weren't even close to being in the right spots. We really saw what it means to have Jevon Miller out there. He was kind of the backbone in terms of when things would go bad on that D-line, he would kind of help clean it up. And, you know, and I think realistically the big thing about him, too, is just getting everybody in the right spot. Nobody seemed on the right page at all.
Nope. It was a disappointing day, I think. We saw it on our message board. What was Coach Rhodes like immediately following the game?
You know, at first I kind of thought it was going to be an angry type deal. But then, and I think that's kind of the way it was going, but then he kind of calmed himself down a little bit. And, you know, it was mostly just frustration. And, you know, he looks like an exhausted man.
He's aged.
Yeah.
And I don't blame him.
Yeah. It's been really tough, you know. Yeah. It's got to be tough. You know, the question I posed to him, and that's where he got that embarrassment comment out there was, you know, for so many years, we're used to seeing Iowa State be on that end of the other end of those celebrations. You know, Iowa State fans storming the field and stuff like that. I think that was realistically the first time since Rhodes has been there that we've seen somebody else storm the field.
Yeah, we were talking about that on Cyclone Reaction. I had never seen that happen.
Yeah.
But we had a gentleman, an older gentleman, call into the show and said it happened in 1990 at Kansas State. They stormed the field.
So definitely the first time in the Rhodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, I think that's when it really hit home and sunk in for a lot of those guys. I asked Farniok the same question, and he just kind of looked at me, and I thought he was going to, you know, trounce me with that big body of his and just destroy me, and just said, I'm not even going to answer.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said, I'm not. You know, and you can really see the frustration. It's boiling over for these guys. You had that Corey Morrissey, who's a very emotional guy, and he's, let's face it, Corey's been through a lot since he's been here, and he's a diehard Iowa State guy.
He seems just immensely frustrated.
Yeah, you know, he's taking it personal, and you know,
did you see his tweet?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
yeah.
Did you see when he came out and spoke to reporters
afterwards? No, I did not see it.
He came out. I think Randy Peterson asked him one. Well, I know it was one question. It was from Randy, actually. He said, what went wrong? And Corey looked at him and he goes, no comment. I'm not going to do this. And walked off.
Really?
That was it. And most of Farniok's responses were one-word answers, too. And, you know, it's...
Do you think about... Because I'm talking about Morrissey's tweet. Do you ever think about how much different the players, coaches, media, we obviously know it is now because of social media and message boards and stuff?
Sure.
Like Hoiberg referenced this after the exhibition game.
Saw that, yeah.
The other night about just how it's a different world because of Twitter and, you know, things are just so different as far as expectations go. Well, you know, a team 15 years ago could have been as good as Iowa State's going to be in basketball this year, we think. But they didn't have the expectations because of the world that we live in. And
it's easier to hide that stuff.
Yeah, and I was watching the game on Saturday, and you've got former players tweeting. You've got a guy like Quentin Bundridge tweeting, who's still on the team. You've got fans tweeting at players, angry tweets at players.
Absolutely.
I don't see a ton of that, but clearly happens. We've seen it. I mean, look what happened with Zach McCabe in Iowa last year. Like, clearly this does happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, Corey Morrissey is about as good of a kid, I think, as you can
absolutely
cover.
He's a fantastic guy.
And that's where you do feel, because it's like, man, like what else? What more can Corey Morrissey and Tom Farniok do at this point? You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Those guys are.
You feel for those guys because this is it.
Yeah.
This is the end, and I think they realize where their legacy is going to stand when it's all said and done. That they were a part of some pretty tough losses. Some, I don't want to say awful things, because they've done some great things too.
Yeah.
But when it comes to looking back on their senior season, what's going to be the highlight of it? It's going to be the Iowa game. There's really not much else to kind of put your finger on. They almost took down Kansas State.
Yeah.
They almost got Texas at Texas.
Think about the Texas games the last 2 years, though, just how.
Yep.
I mean, they wouldn't have beaten Oklahoma.
No.
But they, the just the whole morale, though. I mean, because I think what we're talking about right now, when you're talking about former players tweeting, when you're talking about how Morrissey was after the game, Farniok, you're just talking, and you listen to Paul Rhodes on the telecom, the morale overall is as low as I've seen it.
I think this is rock bottom, at least in the Paul Rhodes era. Iowa State fans have been around long enough know that it's been much worse, that there have been more awful times. But what makes this so tough is that the expectations have been built up, not so high, but reasonably high, a lot higher than where they are at right now. And those expectations aren't even being close to being met. And, you know, I know we've talked about this last year. It's like, how horrible is the timing of kind of all of this taking place? You've had fans really buying in the last two seasons.
Yeah.
And now you've got the South End Zone being pulled in. And right now, it's got to be really tough to sell Iowa State football to fans. And we know it is to recruits, too.
I think if you're Jamie Pollard, you have to consider not raising prices.
Yeah, I agree. There was one student I actually talked to. I did a piece about that, talking to students to get their kind of reaction, and people around Ames. I had a couple of students say that they thought it was kind of unfair that prices have been raised at times. So they to a certain degree, they kind of feel like they're pulling their weight. They're coming out and supporting.
Yeah.
And with the exception of the Oklahoma game, where they bolted, but that was cold weather. They've been there through thick and thin. Now it's kind of the football team's turn.
Yeah, and my whole deal is, I fully understand, like, if you want nice things, you have to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
You want the new end zone, you have to pay for it. Now, there is a generous gift. There is Big 12 television money. But I think if you look, and I don't know the specifics on this, Tommy, but I would guess if you went across, like, the Big 12, what it costs to get season tickets. I mean, I think Iowa State's very affordable.
Oh, yeah, probably. Absolutely.
But I also know that when people choose to go and spend their Saturdays and spend their money and take their family, they're purchasing a product. And, you know, if you buy a Sony television and it doesn't work, breaks down on you in six. Here's a good example. I just got a new projector for my basement.
Is that what's right here?
That's the old projector.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
There. That is the Optima that burnt out on me. Not the bulb, but the whole thing crapped out on me in 3 years.
That sounds bad.
Yeah. So when I bought my new projector, I didn't buy an Optima, right?
Yeah.
So my, do you get what I'm saying? It's a
sure.
consumer purchase. And if you're not giving them more, I don't know how you can charge them more. I you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think the key for Iowa State next year with this new stadium is to get as many butts in there as you can get, for the perception standpoint. That, well, you know what I mean? Because
yeah.
That's what you've been able to sell. That's what you've been able to sell up to now. Like, man, look, and Fred Hoiberg's talked about
it. The future.
Yeah.
Things like that.
And Fred's talked about it. Like, when they recruit, they sell the fans about how great the fan base is. Well, if you raise prices and you cut your crowd in a third, and
yeah.
I don't know. I think that's probably most Iowa State fans, the ones I know, will rally around and they'll be there in September next year. But clearly, I mean, you're getting to a point, you're flirting with some danger.
Exactly.
Right,
and that's
now.
What cost Dan McCartney his job.
Exactly.
So, Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one. You know, and Rhodes has even come out and said it a couple of times that, look, we gotta keep the people entertained. It's our responsibility. If they're not entertained, they don't need to be in the stands.
Good example of that is Kansas. It was like 4th and 10 early on in that game, or 4th and 5, and they're just going for it.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who gives a crap? We're 0-6, they said. I like that. Iowa State needs to find that sort of a attitude for the final three games.
You know, the idea too, the one thing that I took away was Grant saying after the game, we asked him, what was the biggest problem with you? And he said, well, I was second-guessing myself a lot. I feel like everybody on that team is second-guessing themselves and questioning what they're doing and what's working. And when you have everybody doing that, That's not a good place to be.
Didn't Rhodes say something? I thought I read this quote about the guys traveling to Kansas, like hoping for a victory instead of expecting a victory. Or did you read that?
I don't remember that.
I paraphrased. I read that somewhere. I think maybe it was from the teleconference today. I don't know, but sure. I think that would play into that as well. I got a couple other topics I want to pick your brain on before we do that. I want to let you know about IAMenCenter.com. There's a great FAQ page there where men can go to read about low testosterone, if you need a vasectomy, even if you have erectile dysfunction.
Why are you looking at me?
Because you're the only other person in the room. Honestly, though, it's cool. It's stuff that a lot of men don't necessarily talk about, but there you can go there and read about it. The FAQ page at IAMenCenter.com. It can be a really good resource for all men out there. The Iowa Clinic and their 8 metro locations in Altoona, Ankeny, Des Moines, Indianola, Johnston, Urbandale, Waukee, and West Des Moines.
I'm a big fan of already the basketball podcast. Now, I better hear this exact promo being read to Hines. I want you to look him dead in the eyes.
He was pretty
stare at him when you throw out erectile dysfunction.
He was pretty harsh. He came on the Mr. B Clothing podcast.
That's BS.
Yeah, and he was very stern about not wanting to be hassled about going to the doctor.
I heard that. Yeah, he's a wuss.
He had a very firm hand that day. He was not having it.
I would be too. He can't take the heat.
Did you read my Monday musings today?
I did. I read all your stuff.
Oh, well, thank you. Likewise. So my whole point was, and it wasn't even like going to bat for Paul Rhodes or saying fire Paul Rhodes. It had nothing to do with that. I think, first of all, I'll make a statement. I'll see if you agree. Most people believe, and when I say people, it means connected people who have knowledge of the situation. They believe that Paul Rhodes will be back for next season. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Okay. I have absolutely no doubt about that.
Okay. I feel the same way. So my point is, if that is true, which we both believe it to be true, then I don't think Jamie Pollard needs to do anything brash.
No.
I don't think we need an Oklahoma State type deal. But I think it would be wise at this point to, right now, before it gets any worse, because it's going to get worse, to publicly have your coaches back. Remember when he did that with Greg McDermott a few years back?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that ended weirdly because Greg got the offer from Creighton and bailed Ohio State out,
yeah,
essentially. But I think, you know, I'm watching the recruiting process play out and thinking to myself, you know, if I had a child and I'm witnessing what's going on in Ames right now.
You will have a child.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I will. But I have no confidence that guy is going to be there when I graduate. So my point is, I don't think Pollard needs to do anything brash here. Pollard's a very smart man. I think you get out in front of it. If there's really, you know, no chance, like no doubt this guy is going to be there, which we both believe, I don't see what that can hurt.
You know, I totally agree with you. I think he should come out and say, Paul Rhodes, my guy. He's going to be back next year. Yada, da, da, da. Put out those flames because, yeah, I don't know if there are flames, but at least the little pieces of wood are being stirred together and mm-hmm. people are throwing grass into the fire. But, you know, now that I think about this more, and you're probably going to be like, what the hell? We were just talking about this.
No, I like conversation. Like, I hope you disagree with me for the sake of the podcast.
Yeah, I almost think that Jamie might be thinking, by addressing this, I'm almost giving credence to this logic that Paul Rhodes may not be the guy, or they could be on the hot seat.
Okay, now let me bring this back to you, though. You just lost a recruit.
Yeah.
And I completely understand you got to be above the fray.
Sure.
If you're in Pollard's situation. I get that. I respect that opinion. But I would come back to you and say, this is going to be used against you.
Yeah.
If you're truly bringing him back, why wouldn't you want to put him in the best situation possible to be successful? If he is looked at as a lame duck 1 year coach, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's because the way Iowa State recruits is usually you fill out like 2/3 of your class and then you try and hit home runs the rest of the way. Well, they're already up against it because nobody's going to be at the Texas Tech and West Virginia games. That's tough for official visitors. You're going to really have to rely on Fred Hoiberg to sell your program with some men's basketball games in all reality when December and January roll around, which is what they'll do. But my whole deal is Tristan Nicholson, the young man, a JUCO offensive lineman, decommitted on Saturday. He committed to Texas. Now, this kid's from Texas. Rational human beings know Iowa State could be 8-0 right now. If Texas gave that kid an offer, he's going to Texas.
Yeah.
But I think this is a lesson, though. Like, Iowa State, the thing is, a lot of the guys who they've got commitments from right now actually had high major offers from other Power 5 schools. That doesn't happen very often. So my point is, it wouldn't be very hard to get in a kid's head at this point with what's going on at Iowa State.
I think Nicholson's kind of the rare deal where once the offer came in, he felt like it was too good to pass up on. I flat out asked him. I said, did the Kansas game have anything to do with it? And it was like, no, I made the decision before the game. I, you know, found out about the score later on. I said, well, then I flipped it to the other side. Just kind of wonder, like, the comparison of almost the different sides of the program. You look at Texas right now. They got a big win over the weekend. They're kind of up and coming now. They're one away from going to a bowl game. There's a lot of excitement about Charlie Strong. I said, what about that win? That have an effect? He goes, no, I committed before that. It was like Texas offers, you commit. You know, I'm a Texas kid. He even said his lead recruiter was, I don't know if it was Blaney, but I forget who it was, whoever his lead recruiter was. And when he said he talked to them from Iowa State, they basically conceded, I understand. You're a Texas kid, Texas offers, you want to go play for Texas. He said it has absolutely nothing to do with Rhodes and the program. He said it's a fantastic program. He likes them. Da-da-da-da-da. So I don't know if I would freak out about that. It's kind of like you go to a restaurant, you've been going there a long time, you have the filet, it's awesome. One time it comes out and not that good. You're going to quit going back there. Not going to give up on it yet.
I just know how dirty recruiting is.
Absolutely.
And this is not setting up well for Iowa State down the home stretch.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are tons of coaches that smell blood in the water right now. And there you see the reports. I forget what website it was that had their list of coaches who are most likely going to be fired at the end of the year. And it had Paul Rhodes and it had Kirk Ferentz.
Wasn't Bellini on it too?
Yeah. None of those guys are going to be gone at the end of the year. But little things like that do get in the minds of recruits. You know, obviously a kid from maybe North Carolina will just throw out that area, or even Texas, may not understand the intricacies of how difficult it is to win at Iowa State and the history behind it. God forbid most reporters don't even understand it either.
I want to be fair, too, to Pollard in the sense, and I didn't put this in my piece, and looking back, I probably should have. He's probably, when these young men come to campus, talking to them.
Yeah. I would think so.
Smoothing things out. Hey, this is what's really going on. And then that way, Pollard doesn't publicly have to go to bat for a coach that's really struggling at this point.
And I think Jamie coming out and saying, too, Paul Rhodes is my guy, it's almost like you're admitting, yes, it's a bad season.
But it
things
is.
Are struggling. But I think so many coaches, so many administrators like to live in a life of denial. And
I don't think Pollard's like that, though.
It's almost like you're saying, things have gone bad. I almost think that Iowa State likes playing that card almost of, well, golly, you know, we had 9 season-ending injuries. We almost beat K-State. We almost beat Texas. That would have been 2 more wins right there, and we had the season-ending injuries. You know, nothing's going wrong here. But by coming out and saying, Paul Rhodes is my guy, you're almost indirectly saying something could be broke here.
Well, but again, that's why I think people have drawn themselves to Pollard over the years, because he generally will address the fans.
Sure.
It's like, to me, like, by not saying anything, I don't know, I get both sides. But I do know, recruiting-wise, until something publicly, I'm talking about these kids who are currently committed more than I am these other guys. I think a lot of these other guys are out there going, where am I going to play?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those home run type guys, you know, that I've talked about, they want to play.
Yeah.
And they can do that clearly at Iowa State right now, especially on the defensive side of the football.
There are 2 cards Iowa State can play really well right now: playing time right away and the facilities.
Yeah.
And right now, there is absolutely no reason why either of those cards are going to stop them from being able to play them.
You know who I'd like an update on? It would be really out of left field to ask this question, but I think I'm going to. Is that Jordan Harris?
Yeah. The linebacker, right?
The JUCO linebacker.
Yeah. I think the idea was they was going to redshirt this year.
Yeah.
I think we got a response maybe midway through the season where I think they were like, well, at this point, we might as well save him.
Yeah,
I saw he was tweeting.
Clearly, but I would like to know how he's doing.
I've wondered that, too.
Huge piece for next year. I'm sorry. I know he hasn't played much. I'm questioning Kane Sealy's future.
Yeah.
Alton Meeks, I think, can be a good football player down the road. He's clearly not there yet. They need Harris to be that guy.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, too, because when we were coming back from Kansas, I saw he was tweeting, kind of looking for things to do on Saturday night. I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll head to Des Moines to West Glen. I was like, well, he's got some time to kill.
He's going to hang out.
I mean, but I would have gone.
My thing is, though, like, this is the first time that I can remember where they don't have an experienced guy coming back in the middle.
Yeah, yeah. It's
other than this year, but Miller was still a
he's still
a senior.
You do still have Luke Knott, too.
But he's not really in the middle. And
you could put him there, though.
He's got to get bigger.
Yeah. But Luke's
deal is, I think he's a good football player. I think he's even more so a smart football player. But he doesn't have the body to do what he does for 12 games.
You look at Kane Sealy, too. Kane is really not that unbelievably bigger than Luke.
No.
Alton Meeks is.
Meeks,
that's
where
you notice the drop-off.
Has more upside than
absolutely
Sealy.
Yeah.
Meeks, you get differing opinions on Meeks.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people think he can be really good. I was told fall camp, a couple people told me they thought, you know, at the end of the road, which is clearly a long time from, but he could be a possible NFL draftee type guy.
Yeah, I mean, in ideal situation, you're not playing him, having to play him right now. He shouldn't even be in that starting conversation.
And we talk about all the injuries. People are like, well, it's a strength and conditioning. Well, it might be. I don't know. I don't know if about that. But I do know this. Let's just look at the defensive tackle with Coe and Irving. Those are your primary guys.
Yeah.
Those are men with NFL-type bodies. They're not NFL players, but
yeah,
they have NFL-type bodies, which is very important. And you take them out, so all of a sudden you've got Devlin Cousins playing twice as much as he should. You've got Robbie Garcia probably playing 3 to 4 times as much as he should.
Those guys are filler-in type guys.
Yes.
They are not every-down starters.
And then, you know, you get to game 7-8, where the hell is everybody? Well, they're all hurt because they shouldn't have been out there in the first place.
Yeah.
I told you the first day we met Robbie Garcia at fall camp, I said, if that kid is a starter in the Big 12, going to be a long year. Do you remember that?
I do.
All I took was one look at him, and it has nothing to do with him as a football player. You talk to anybody up there, they like his tenacity,
yeah,
you know, yada, 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 all that. It's his body.
him.
That's not going to hold up against Oklahoma 12 weeks in a row. I'm
and
sorry.
It didn't.
No.
He's been hurt. A lot of people have been hurt. And, God,
I like to use Patrick Neal. Remember him?
Yeah.
As an example?
Yeah.
Patrick Neal at 40 snaps a game was not very good.
Yeah.
Get Patrick Neal 15 snaps per game. Remember his senior season?
He's going to be a good player.
Yeah. He's a nice player for Iowa State.
But then, right now, Iowa State just does not have the luxury. Right now, it's not the next man in. It is the last man in right now. They're running out of bodies.
Yes, they are, which is why I have no confidence at all that they can beat Texas Tech in 2 weeks.
No, I think they're going to lose the final three games.
I do, too.
And those that Texas Christian game,
here's your problem there.
You have been a big Boykin. Heisman guy.
Huge, huge.
Holy smokes.
You going to vote him now?
He's really up
on
my radar.
Is he on your ballot now?
He's on my ballot. But
my God.
That's a game where if he's still in that conversation, they let him go loose.
Dude.
They run him all over the field and give him that jaw-dropping, head-scratching performance and hope that he gets that Bryce Petty type hurdle type play too, and get him into the Heisman. He is in the Heisman conversation, but a game like that where he just absolutely goes nuts could really put him over the edge.
And if they're sitting on one loss, they need style points.
Yeah, and that's Iowa State is a good team too.
Dude, they seriously could score 100.
Yeah, I think they could.
I mean, I don't think they. I would hope that Gary Patterson would call off the dogs before then. But I'm just saying, like, based off of what we're seeing with Iowa State's defense right now.
They're going to get a lot because it's like I said there.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to take him out of the game with an entire half to play unless he's got 300 yards passing, 200 yards rushing.
They had
six touchdowns.
They've got a good
that
backup.
In the first half, he's done. But they're going to let him get his money's worth. He's going to have some fun. That's really depressing.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Did you enjoy your first Iowa State basketball game of the year on Friday?
I did, yeah. It was a lot to keep up with. So many dunks. Was it Bryce that did the kind of the mailman style?
Yeah, that was Bryce DeJohn Jones.
That was awesome. I liked that. That was cool.
Who stood out to you the most? I don't want to do too much basketball because actually Bloom's coming over later and we're going to do our season preview basketball podcast in which we make predictions and all that good stuff. But you're covering the Cyclone.
I would like to talk as much possible and just give Hines absolutely nothing to talk about. Bastard.
Hines is not yet signed on with a weekly Cyclone Fanatic contract.
I don't want to say anything bad about him.
I think Hines wants to.
I don't want to say anything bad about him, but he's a douche. No.
Hey,
I love Travis Hines. Good dude. Good guy.
Quote,
good buddy.
I don't want to say anything bad, but he's a douche.
No, I love Travis. Great guy. Great reporter. Good friend.
I would say great guy. Good reporter.
Yeah.
No, I meant to say that the other way around. Great reporter. Just a good guy, though.
Average
I don't think
guy.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
I think he's an okay guy. Did you by chance listen to my podcast with Matt Abdelmassey last week?
I don't think so. Maybe I did. I can't remember. Last week's a giant blur.
I asked him about his favorite Teenage Turtle.
Really?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Because I've had that conversation with you and Hines.
Yeah, we did. We did have that.
Abdelmassey went with Master Splinter. Outside the box. I like it.
He is. He's their version of Yoda.
I said that would be more Hoiberg,
mm-hmm.
the leader.
Yeah.
Kind of fancied Abdelmassey as Michelangelo.
But. Or April O'Neil.
Oh, you calling him a female?
No, just off to the side.
April O'Neil was hot, man.
She
was like my first crush growing up.
Yeah, she was a babe.
Yeah.
The new April O'Neil.
Yeah. Even hotter.
Yeah.
You, give me a quick, you don't need to give me like win-loss.
Yeah.
But Iowa State basketball, now that you've seen them once, where do you see them finishing in the Big 12? Like, what's the end game here? When we leave Kansas City from covering the Big 12 tournament in March, and then, from right there, what do they finish? What seed are they in the big dance?
Wow.
You're not on the record here. It's just a couple of guys talking. Nobody's listening.
And all your...
Nobody's listening, Tommy.
All your posse getting ready to...
to pounce.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I see them winning the Big Ten or Big 12 tournament again. It seemed like everything just kind of aligned with all the injuries, you know, Kansas suffered, and they were playing perfectly at the right time. I see them getting to the semifinals and maybe losing
to in the Big 12 tournament.
Big 12 tournament.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if they win it.
I'm starting to. I don't know if they're gonna. Tournaments are weird, you know, because it's such a. Who you running into? Who's hot? What's your? But I feel like Iowa State can get second in the league.
Yeah, that's I would say second or third regular season.
I think
they're
better than people think.
Yeah, they're going to be an entirely different team once McKay comes.
Yeah, and I just read the Sports Illustrated. They had their college basketball preview come out this week, and I'm reading like Texas. And their front right line is outstanding, but I don't know if their backcourt can do enough for them to play second. I mean, it's a grueling league. You're going to need to be able to shoot at some point in time.
Yeah. And this is an Iowa State team that can do a lot of different things. It seems like everybody can play all around the court, too. And for the first time, it seems like Hoiberg's really going to have a rim defender, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's something... It's really been missing for a long time, and he's going to have that now. So.
What seed? Give me a seed, Tommy. I need a seed. Sorry, I'm yawning. That's what this – I'm not going to lie. I like it when you come over. I enjoy podcasting. It's my favorite part of my job. It's really hard to just get jacked up to do today's podcast, though.
So. Yeah, you know. And it's a bye week.
Yeah, I know. There's just so – I think we're all lucky basketball starting.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It should be a lot of fun. And you can tell Iowa State fans are too. I mean, with how they were lining up for that exhibition.
That was
game.
My column from Friday night.
Yeah,
it was just
you have to wonder if football was struggling as much as they have been. I wonder how many of those fans would be as hungry as they are. I think they're hungry. They're starving right now. They would still be hungry. I don't know if they would be starving.
I think Iowa State basketball fans are hungry just by the way the last 2 years ended.
Yeah.
With the controversy at the Ohio State game, Babb went down. They probably win that game if Babb's not out. With George Niang going down. I mean, they were really close. People forget about 2 years ago. They've been close 2 years in a row to Final Four.
Yeah, it's kind of – maybe I'm going to get in a little trouble with this analogy, but it's kind of like, you know, two – teenage kids in the basement making out. The guy thinking he's gonna score with the chick, but then mom or dad comes down.
On.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, I think I would have had her.
No, I think that's fair. You're just going back to your past.
Yeah, I spent a lot. No, I'm not. Yeah, the things that took place in
you're
the basement
rant.
There. But yeah, I mean, you're kind of left wondering what would have happened. If that didn't happen.
Yep, and I just think they're ready to, like I've explained it a couple times, but I just feel like they're in a new era where now, like, it's done, you're done with, well, let's get in the tournament and see what happens. Now they actually expect to do something in the tournament.
The thing that really stood out to me in the exhibition game was it seemed like everybody gelled and was on the same page right away.
Yeah.
How many alley-oops did we see? We saw two or three.
Yeah.
There seemed like the communication seemed on key. Like everybody had been playing together for a long time. I mean, even with Bryce and, you know, the big Greek too,
mm-hmm.
You know, at one point I remember he was moving up court and he had the open lane and I forget who, maybe it was Monte that had the ball at that point, but you know, Greek kind of looked up, pointed up to the hoop like,
"Oh me. Yeah, he didn't get it to him. He didn't give me love.
He didn't get it to him.
Didn't give me love, man."
But that type of chemistry that even they had, you know, he knew to look for him. I think it was if it was two or three, whoever had the ball, if it was two or three more games into it, he would have thrown it to him. It was just a little gun shy on mm-hmm. his part. But the play was there. And they both knew it, too. They both saw it. It was just a little gun shy. And we saw a lot of that where it wasn't. Mm-hmm. So
it'll be fun. Friday night, Iowa State plays Oakland. The women's team tips off the season, I think, on Sunday yep. afternoon. You're covering the women, too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who do they play? It's like one of those California teams. Like
yeah.
USC like, Upstate.
Yeah.
Like, something like
that's
that.
That's exactly who it
Jared
is.
Jared will be covering the women for us the majority of the year. You'll see Ian Smith, Rob Gray, and I will be around as well.
Nikki Moody will be there, too.
Is she going to play?
I don't know if she'll play. She'll be eligible.
Okay. Tom, thanks for your time, man.
Tom.
Yep.
We're team money.
Why didn't you ever go with Thomas or Tom? Why did you settle on Tommy? I like it.
I was always Tommy growing up. I know at one point a previous register editor in another section tried putting Tom in my bylines, and when he departed and went back to Tommy,
that was
a very sore subject.
That would be weird.
It really pissed me off.
Why wouldn't they let you decide?
The exact words were, Tom is more grown up, more mature. And that's not me.
It's like, what do you have, like a Hollywood stage name to work at the Des Moines Register?
Not anymore. They let me go by
you think
whatever
they would
I
let
want.
Me, with my NASCAR columns, go with Chrissy Williams?
Probably. you could do, you're a star. You could do whatever you wanted.
Yeah, right.
You met the publisher that other week.
Yeah, and he was great. It was really nice to meet him. I feel like I never know if I'm welcomed at the Register, if people kind of like turn their
nose. He loved you. You know, it kind of it had to have been that time, kind of like where Rhodes is introducing Mangino to Pollard. Like, oh, jeez, this guy.
No, he was a very nice man.
He is. He's fantastic.
Yeah. Really nice man. I enjoyed that conversation with him thoroughly.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
Yeah,
right thanks to our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, iamenscenter.com. Go get those flu shots, everybody. You don't want to infest everybody with your sickness. Have you gotten your flu shot, Tommy?
Not yet. It's on my to-do list,
though. Knock that out with the physical, all right?
Yeah.
All right. He's Tom Birch. I'm Chrissy Williams. So long, everybody.